Well, if you were with us last week, you know that we jumped into Galatians as we continued our series through the Bible titled The Bible, A True Story. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can actually open them to Galatians chapter 3. That's where we're going to be. As I mentioned last week, Galatians has been a very powerful book for many people over the years. It's actually said to be the book that helped launch the Protestant Reformation of 1517, as Martin Luther rediscovered the doctrine of justification by faith in the book of Galatians. Because it's in the book of Galatians that Paul reminds the church and the new followers of Jesus that our salvation comes from Jesus and His work upon the cross, period. Now, again, Galatians is a letter just like Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And this letter was to the church in the city of Galatia, thus the name Galatians, a church that Paul had planted there years prior to this letter. But after Paul had left the area, some Jewish Christians had arrived and began to challenge Paul's authority there in the church. They were telling people in Galatia that Paul wasn't actually an apostle. And that's because he wasn't one of the 12 that had been taught and served under Jesus. And so they said he can't be an apostle. He wasn't with him. They also told the believers there in Galatia that to truly be saved, yes, you must believe in Jesus, but you also must keep the law as well. Laws like circumcision and many food laws that the Jews had observed for years. And these teachings by the Jewish Christians, they completely contradicted Paul's teaching. And the fact that our faith in Jesus Christ was enough. It wasn't Jesus and the laws. It was the love and grace of Jesus, period. And that is what our message was about last week, if you were here, the fact that we are saved by the grace of Jesus and the grace of Jesus alone. Now, we found out too, Paul was an apostle, right? Who earned his apostleship from Jesus himself. And he knew the gospel of Jesus' grace had been revealed to him. And he wasn't going to let the church that he planted head down a road that would ultimately lead them to destruction. That is the main reason for Paul writing this letter that we now know as Galatians. And a good portion of this letter is Paul sharing the truth of what he knows, what was revealed to him, reminding them once again of the one true gospel that was revealed to him by Jesus Christ himself. The fact that like Abraham, we experience righteousness through faith, our faith in Jesus Christ. And though that is the main message that Paul speaks again and again throughout this letter, throughout the book of Galatians, there are numerous other words or messages that Paul shares in the midst of this letter. And I want to look at one of those this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. We're going to read Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29. This is what it says in those verses, those four verses this morning. It says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ. You who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." As I mentioned, Paul is pointing out all through Galatians the reality that we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. It's because of Him and Him alone that we have life, that we can have life. Jesus came and died so that we wouldn't have to. He has given us the gift of life. The key is that we accept this gift, this free gift that He offers. And in this little section of Scripture, Paul points out some things that actually change for us when we receive that gift. When we become people of faith, people who believe in Jesus, there are some things that change. And in this Scripture, there are three things that I want to point out that change in our lives, or at least should change. And so I want to share those with you this morning. The first thing is this. Number one, our faith in Christ changes our heritage. It changes our heritage. Let me explain what I mean by this. In verse 26, it says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." When we say yes to Jesus, we become a part of His family. We become children of the King. Our heritage changes. It doesn't matter what your heritage was before this point. Whether it might have been viewed as a good heritage or a horrible one. Because now we are a part of God's family. We are His. And anyone who believes on Him changes their heritage. As I was thinking about this section of Scripture this week, I was reminded of a youth pastor I served with early in ministry. I served with him 20-some years ago. His name was Tyson Paletti. Pretty cool dude. And he was the high school pastor at the church I was at in Eugene while I was the middle school pastor. And I remember one of the Sundays he talked with the high schoolers that week about the fact that as believers we are all part of the same family. And so one of the high school kids kind of jokingly said, "Does that mean that I can be a Paletti?" Right? And it ended up becoming kind of this joke within the youth group. And the high schoolers would often identify themselves saying, "I'm a Paletti," right? And so when he felt called to move in a different ministry direction, as a gift to all his high school students when he left, he got them shirts that said, "I'm a Paletti," right? And so as I took over the high school group, actually, I would see them wearing these shirts, "I'm a Paletti." I thought it was such a cool thing and a cool reminder that when we put our faith in Jesus, we become a part of the same family. We become children of the King. And as children of the King, we become heirs to His kingdom. Our heritage becomes a godly heritage that changes our lives and our history forever. And we have to remember that we receive this new heritage by faith, right? Not by works, not by anything we do, but by our faith in Jesus and what He did for us. Amen? Our faith in Christ, it changes our heritage. And secondly, our faith in Christ changes our position. In verse 28, it says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." One of the things that we have to understand is that these are some pretty crazy words for Paul to be speaking back in these times especially. Because back in the time when Paul walked this earth, there was a definite social structure, okay? And you had to fall within that social structure. The Romans who ruled in this time, they had a social structure based upon wealth. How much money you had or didn't have said a lot about your position in life. It determined whether you were up here in position or perhaps down here in position. And then the Jewish community had their structures. with the religious leaders being at the top and actually becoming wealthy themselves because of it. And where you were born affected your position in life. Your sex affected your position in life, as women were often treated like property in these days. And even though we don't have the strict rules and structures that they had in these times of Jesus and Paul, we have some messed up social classes in our world today. But here's the thing we need to understand. Jesus came to change all that. To Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. When Jesus arrived on the scene, he began to turn the social structure of his day upside down. And it's interesting because it really began with the beginning of his own life. As the King of Kings, he wasn't born into a palace to royalty, but instead was born to a working class family in a stable of all places. And it wasn't kings and queens that received his birth announcement. But instead, who got the first birth announcement? It was a bunch of shepherds on the side of a hill, even lower class than Jesus' parents. And instead of Jesus going up the ladder and becoming a Pharisee, where he could have hung out with the upper class and the well-to-do religious leaders, he chose to bring together a group of followers consisting of fishermen and tax collectors with little to no education. You see, Jesus completely bucked against the social structures of his day as he ate with tax collectors and sinners, as he publicly forgave an adulteress in front of many people, and he spoke often directly to women. Jesus taught us firsthand by the life that he lived here on this earth the truth of what Paul speaks in these scriptures, the fact that our faith in Jesus is the great equalizer, that our faith in Jesus, it changes our position because we are all the same in the eyes of Jesus. We've heard it said, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. What Jesus did upon the cross, it destroyed the worldly notion of positions, of classes, and social structures. The prince and the pauper are both equally in need of a Savior. And if or when they say yes to Jesus, they are both equally saved by grace through faith and equally granted the same eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus. Amen? Our faith in Christ, it changes our heritage. Our faith in Christ, it changes our position. And finally, our faith in Christ, it changes our attitude towards others. Once again, let me read to you verse 28, which says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You see, if our heritage has changed for us, and if our position has changed, then the truth is our attitude towards others should change as well. When Jesus walked this earth, it wasn't much different than our world today. Back then, it was full of racism, full of sexism, full of social structurism or classism, however you want to word it. But Jesus didn't live like the rest of the world. Jesus lived life differently because he came to bring change, to change us and to change the way that we think about others. In verse 28, Paul says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Now, this isn't talking about water baptism here. I believe this is talking about the spiritual baptism that the disciples actually experienced back in Acts when they were filled with the Spirit and began to do the things that Jesus himself did, right? When we are clothed with Jesus, we are able to begin to live like he lived. In Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, Paul says it this way. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, as we come to Jesus, we shouldn't live the way we used to live. We shouldn't live the way the world still lives. Instead, we need to follow the example that Jesus set for all of us. And when we look at the life of Jesus, we see that he lived life differently. Jesus didn't bow to the culture and norms of the world in his time. He didn't see people as positions or social classes. To Jesus, all men and women were created equal. You see, our faith in Christ brings about a new non-discriminatory status that no social group could ever give. You see, the law, it created differences and distinctions between individuals and nations. The law caused the religious leaders to believe that they were better than others. The law caused the people of Israel to believe that they were better than those Gentiles, better than that race or that race over there. The law showed us just how sinful and messed up all of us really are. And that sin has brought division not only to the world, but to our own brothers and sisters in Christ. It has brought division even into the church. All of us have an equality of sinfulness. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of the Lord. The scriptures tell us that. And when we believe on Jesus, when we put our faith in him, we also then have an equality of righteousness. Any person, any sinner has an equal status in the eyes of Jesus. And their sins, their skin color, their gender, their nationality, their occupation, their religion, their past, their denomination, none of that matters. In the eyes of Jesus, every single person is equal because we were all created by him. You see, Jesus Christ came not to divide, but to actually unite us together. And when we say yes to Jesus, his desire is for us to throw off our old life and to put on the new life that he has for us. To begin thinking not as the world thinks or as we used to think, but to begin thinking with the mind and heart of Jesus. All are one in Christ Jesus. That is what Paul was preaching here to the church in Galatia. And this must have been some wonderful news for the Galatians, because in their society, slaves were considered to be merely property. The women were kept confined and often disrespected. And we can't forget these people were Gentiles that had started following Jesus, and they were constantly looked down upon by the Jewish culture. As a matter of fact, in William Barclay's commentary on Galatians, he shares about the prayer that Jewish men would pray each morning when they woke up. This will tell you what the Jews thought, what the Jewish men thought. In English, it translates to something like this. I thank thee, God, that I am a Jew, not a Gentile, a man, not a woman, and a free man, not a slave. Racial and gender injustices have been going on for thousands of thousands of years. And it was even going on in the Jewish culture, the people of Israel, God's chosen. And Paul was deliberately addressing these issues that he saw in his own people. Verse 28 completely contradicts this prayer that the Jewish men had been taught to pray when he says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ." Paul takes each of these categories and shows them to be equal in Jesus. The Jew who puts their faith in Jesus Christ is saved. The Greek who puts himself in is saved. The Gentile who puts their faith in Christ is saved. The slave, the master, the man, the woman, the white person, the black person, the brown person, whatever color or nationality, anyone who puts their faith in Jesus is saved. F.E. Marsh, who was a great preacher and author in the late 1800s, said this: "It's not the elevation of place, nor the pride of race, nor the beauty of face, but the calling of grace which makes the man." And I would actually change that last part to say that makes the person, right? The most effective antidote for racism or gender discrimination or discrimination of any kind is the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we have been given the calling to go into all the world, to take the gospel to all people, not just those people that we like or that we think are deserving, but to every single person. In the book of Revelation, John shares about this vision that God has given him in regards to heaven. And in chapter 7, verse 9, he says this. I think I have it to go up on the screen. It says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing there before the throne and before the Lamb." Jesus showed us through his own life that all colors, all genders, all races, all ethnic varieties, and any racism or discrimination of any kind, whether in our country, our church, or in our own individual lives, needs to be surrendered to the Lord. Because as followers of Jesus, our attitude towards others needs to change. Over this past year, we've discovered some things about ourselves that maybe we didn't realize, or maybe we didn't want to admit. And that's the reality, that none of us are perfect. We are all flawed individuals who have fallen short in this area. And we as the church need to realize this, because it's us, the people and followers of Jesus, we're the ones who have the power to bring change. Jesus brought a wave of change to the world around him, and he didn't do it by going out and wielding a sword. He didn't do it by pushing religion or by upholding the Jewish laws. He did it through love and grace. And Paul knew this, and he didn't want the people of Galatia to be deceived. It wasn't about following the law. It wasn't about religion. It was about following Jesus. And when we understand this and begin to follow him, he changes our heritage. He changes our position. And if we're open, he changes our attitude towards others. Amen? Let me finish with one last thought this morning. The fact is, when you look throughout the scriptures, they do actually talk about two classes or categories of people. Those who are saved and those who aren't saved. But the thing we have to understand is this has nothing to do with social class. It has nothing to do with race or gender. It has to do with whether or not we believe in Jesus and the grace He extends to us through His work on the cross. Romans 10:9 says this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. But the thing we have to remember is that we aren't the ones who determine who is saved and who isn't saved. Because only God knows who truly believes in their heart. Anyone can confess with their mouth, but only God knows who believes in their heart. And as Christians, we are called to love all people. We are called to go to all people, to let our light shine with His love and with His grace, to help others see the truth of who He is. God changes our heritage and position, and then He calls us to go and help others experience this same change. That is my desire, and I hope it's the desire of all of us as well. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your word. And Lord, I love as we've been walking through the Bible from Genesis until even where we are now, how we continue to see Your grace, Your love for people, all people, Lord. Your desire is to bring all of us to a new heritage, to bring all of us to a new position, regardless of our past, regardless of our upbringing, regardless of our nationality, our race, our gender. And so, Lord, we thank You so much for the example that You set for us, Lord. As we look at Your Word, as we look especially in the Gospels, and we see Your life, we see a God who loved everyone. A God who reached out to those that many people wouldn't even talk to, wouldn't even hang out with. Lord, You were with all people and You went to all people. Every social structure, every class, high or low, it didn't matter, Lord. You went to them. Your desire is that none would perish. Your desire is that all would come to know You, Lord. And so, Lord, as we accept You, as we experience the new heritage, the new position that You have for us, Lord, help us to be people who see others in the same way, who see others the way You do. That, Lord, we don't see race, we don't see gender, we don't see class, we don't see background and failures and sin. We see people who You created, who You love, and who You are desiring to come to know You, who You are desiring to make righteous because of what You did on the cross for us, Lord. Help us to see with Your eyes, Lord. Lord, we are such a broken people, proud people, who oftentimes think that we're better than others because we know You and have experienced Your grace. And Lord, I ask for forgiveness in my own life. If I've ever failed to love someone the way You desire me to, because, Lord, I want to be a man of God who loves the way You do. I want to be a man of God who doesn't look at the outward, but sees what You created and on the inside how You want to change their life forever, Lord. And so I thank You for Your word. I thank You for what You are doing in our lives. I pray that You continue to help us grow in You, that You continue to help us people that walk in Your love and in Your grace, Lord. And Lord, I know that there were times that You spoke out, especially to religious leaders, and there were times where You kept quiet. And Lord, I pray for all of us that you would help us to be led by you, to know when we're supposed to take a stand, and to know when we're supposed to step back and just have grace. It's hard, Lord. It's hard in the world that we live in. It's hard to look around and see the things that are going on in this world that we know are not of you, things in this world that are not the way we want to see them. But Lord, we aren't called to change the world. You are the one that changes them. We are called to love you and to love others, to see your kingdom extended. And so use us in this way. Help us to grow in you. We thank you for this word. We give it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.